On this week's episode of What the Puck, Dmitry Orlov finally lands in D.C., Nuvi figures out that ice is slippery, and the Caps say, blame Canada, you can't have Tom Wilson. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for downloading the show or streaming on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, or whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your Thanksgiving? You have a good eat a lot of turkey?
Yeah, it's a good turkey. I had some pumpkin pie. That's the most important part, I think, of the Thanksgiving, because pumpkin pie is pretty damn fantastic. How was your Thanksgiving, Andy? You were out of town.
Yeah, I was hanging out in Ocean City. I just got to say this. I am so happy to say this. Ocean City, major hockey town. Did not think that would be a hockey town, but every time I went out and there was a Capitals game on TV, they had that game on at the bar. There was somebody else besides myself wearing a Capitals jersey, but that place, did not think it would be a big, big hit. Capitals, huge down in Ocean City. I'm very happy to report that.
Well, that's good to know. I was in Ocean City as well on, what night? It was Friday night. I didn't see any Cap stuff, but that's okay.
Well, you just weren't looking in the right places, man. But if you ever want to get some good food, and they didn't pay me to say this or anything, you ever want to get some good food and you want to check out the Caps, go to the Crab Bag. It's in like 128th or something like that. But man, get some crabs, watch some Caps. Life's good whenever that's happening. So let's jump right into it, man. We got a few games to talk about since the last time. There's been a show because you did your own show last week, which I thought was very good. We got to talk a little bit about what's going on in Caps world, but kind of flip-flopping games here. There were two games where I thought the Capitals did really well, and then they end the week with this Hurricanes game, which they just got completely shellacked. They did not think that they I don't think they were ready for this game. They didn't prepare for this game. What's the big story here? What's the difference between, you know, the Canadiens and the Islanders and then the Hurricanes? You would think there'd be more emphasis on a Hurricanes game since it's a divisional rival.
No, I mean, I think they, as Carl Alzner put it, he came out after the game and said that they overlooked the Hurricanes. And I think that is exactly what happened. They came out like they were not interested in playing in that game, and Carolina took advantage and dominated for the most part. And I think that is completely unacceptable for a team that has a desire to win a Stanley Cup. If you want to go out there and you want to win the Cup, you have to play in each and every game. You cannot take a game off like that. That was completely unacceptable. And they've done this a couple of times this season, so I do think that this is something that they need to worry about. And I bring this back not just on the players, but on the coaching staff. It's your job. You know, these are adults. These are professionals. Most of them are adults. I don't know. Tom Wilson's what, like 16? But these guys are professionals, or they're supposed to be. And as you are responsible as the coach to get these guys prepared and make sure they're playing hard. And if they're not, you bench them and you put someone in there who is going to play hard. And I think these guys need a wake-up call because, Tuesday's game against Carolina was completely unacceptable.
Yeah, you know, it was not a good way for me to end my vacation. I was checking them out, watching them, and I'm like, man, what is going on with these guys? One good thing, though, that did happen in this game was Mike Green. He finally got on the scoreboard. It was what I think is the longest drought he's had without a point this his entire career, but congrats to Mike Green finally getting on the board. You could tell, at least on his face, it was a big relief for him.
Yeah, it figures he finally gets a goal in a game, they get crushed, though.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up, Greeny. No, I mean, it's nice for him to get a goal. I believe he was the longest player in the NHL. I'm sorry, that's not the way I should have put that. He has the most shots on goal without actually getting a goal in the NHL this season. So it's nice to see that he finally got one. It'll be great to see if he can finally get a couple of more. And maybe a couple more in games that will matter.
Yeah, we can always hope. The team is a better team when Mike Green's on the ice, so we'll see what happens. Let's talk a little bit about Brooks Like. He's a guy that's kind of been out the last couple games. He's said openly he expects to play later this week, but with Brooks Like sitting out, it means that the guy who kind of wanted a trade, Martin Erat, he's now in, as well as Jay Beagle. Jay Beagle's kind of been given a little bit of time with Michael Lotta being reassigned. So what are your feelings here about, you know, Brooks Like and Martin Erat being compared with from this coaching staff? Do you see these guys as I don't know, like, are they so similar that they can just be kind of put in and out? And once Brooks Light comes back, do you think that Martin Erat's just going to sit back down again?
I do think Erat's going to sit back down, which certainly is not going to help his trade value. But I don't think there's any comparison between Light and Erat. They're two different kinds of players. Erat is much more of a finesse guy, whereas Light is he's a lot more physical. Light's got his groin injury, and it looks like it's a bit of a big concern. So we'll see how long he's out. I believe it's the same thing that had him out if not last year, the year before. So it's definitely a problem right now with Light, and he's got some injury issues. And, you know, you're hoping that he's going to turn a corner. So this is definitely a setback for him if he had any chance to come out and start playing better this season. And we hope he can get better soon. But I do think this sort of throws a wrench into the whole trading Erat thing. And I don't know why if you're going to play Erat playing back on the fourth line, it's certainly not going to help his trade value or make him feel any better and try and get him to stay. But I do like what the second line looks like right now to some extent. I like that Ferris, and I think he does a great job. He does what he asked. He crashes the net. He moves the puck. You got Grabowski out there who makes everyone around him look better, so I think he's doing a great job. And you got Brouwer, who I still want to see more from. I do think that Brouwer can be a good player when he's playing physically, but he tries to be too finesse, and that's not his game. That's not his style. He doesn't have the skills to be able to play a finesse game. I think he needs to crash the net, let Grabowski be the you know, puck handling guy, and let Fair also crash on it a little bit and shoot from the outside, because Fair's got good hands. As long as he can stay healthy, he's a good player. So I like what the second line looks like, but I need to see more from Brouwer. So that's why Erat's playing on the fourth line. I think right now, if I'm George McPhee, I'm looking for that top six forward that I can bring in to potentially play on the first line left wing or on the second line, depending on what they decide to do with Marcus Johansson.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that. And you brought up Brooks Like's groin injury. You really got to think about this now. He missed almost the entire last half season because of the lockout. But I think this whole injury even stemmed from a game that he had during the lockout over in Europe. So it's been a long time that he's had this nagging injury. You know, I am concerned about Brooks Like and this injury. We've seen this in the past with guys like defenseman Tom Pody, where he has a groin injury and it's always like, is he going to play? Is he ever going to be able to play again? And then he comes back a year or two later and kind of does what he's always done. So Brooks Like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Brooks Like. I think he's a great guy and I think he's a great player. But this injury definitely does worry me. If this is going to be a nagging injury, he's never going to be at 100%. And I don't know how that's going to really affect the team or affect the line that he's on. Are people going to constantly be like picking up the slack for Brooks Like because he can't perform because of this nagging injury? Is he just going to play through it? I don't know. This is the type of injury where we've seen what can do. I mean, he's been given plenty of time to rehab it, and it still is not getting better. There's got to be another reason why this certain injury is not doing, you know, the treatment that they're giving him is not doing the job.
Well, there are certainly long-term injury concerns when you come to something like this where it's a reoccurring thing. So there is definitely an issue there that they need to keep an eye on. And I think the salary cap – I mean, if you put him on long-term injury reserve, then the salary cap doesn't become quite as big of an issue. But, you know, when he's playing I think at this point it's hard to say that you can rely on him in the long term. So I think right now George McPhee should still go out and look to bring in a guy like he did last year when he brought in Erat, only maybe bring in a guy this time that isn't so quick to ask for a trade. But you want to go out and you want to find a guy that can play on your top six and be able to fill in. And, you know, I think with the way this team is set up salary cap-wise, they do have a little bit of a problem. They do have sort of a roster issue because let's say let's say McPhee goes out and finds a top six forward. Oates is a big fan of Marcus Johansson, so he's not going to bump him off the top six. And it doesn't appear that he's going to bump Brouwer off, even though the guy couldn't. He isn't playing very well right now. So it looks like Fair is the odd man out. Is Fair going to go back into the press box, or are you going to put somebody else out? I mean, do you move out Joel Ward or Jason Chimera, who just got a new deal? You know what exactly? The team has some issues right there. So unless they're going to go out and get a top six forward, the other guys have to start stepping up. Because at one point, I believe we mentioned on last week's show, over the last couple of games, Ovechkin was the only one scoring up until, what was that? I want to say Friday's game, where they were dominating and then crapped the bed. But it looked like Ovechkin was the only guy scoring, so at that point it really looked like they needed some secondary scoring by bringing another top six forward. So McPhee's got his work to do right now, but back in regards to Like, I don't think they can rely on him because he's got these injury concerns that may stick around with him for quite a while.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what these Caps do in the future, but Brooks Like, I mean, you hate to see something like this happen because he is a gritty guy who wants to be on the ice and he wants to play as much as possible, but with these type of injuries, you got to put your health first. So we'll see what happens down the road with him. Another injury, though, we got to talk about. We got to talk about Nuvi. Michael Neuwirth gets hurt during warm-ups. He takes the ice. I guess he kind of hits – he slips, and he may have pulled a muscle or something, but – Holtby kind of stepped up last Friday and wasn't expecting to play, but there he is on the ice. And then we have Philip Grubauer coming up from Hershey. So I haven't heard anything new about this Nuvi injury, but for a guy who really wants to be called like the number one guy and doesn't want to be a backup and everything, I mean, he's got some of the worst luck when he's up against Holtby. He did this last year as well, where he got injured and was sick, and I mean, the timing just is never right for him. But the goalie situation in Washington, even though I like Nuvi and I like Holtby and everything, but it just seems like he always has this really bad luck when it comes to injuries, and Holtby's always there, you know, behind him, or now it seems like in front of him, always stepping up and being the number one guy.
Well, the Neuwirth injury came off, I believe it was he stepped on a puck as he was coming out for warm-ups, and that's when he got injured, which is such like a stupid thing to happen, but I guess apparently it happens. So he's going to be out for a while, and the Caps recalled Philip Grubauer, who actually got to play during the third period in that embarrassing loss to Carolina. I want to see Grubauer play at least one or two games before Neuwirth comes back. I think right now that Braden Holtby needs a break. I think the loss to Carolina, I got to say, three of those four goals should have been stopped. I really think that he could have had those. One was off a bad, you know, he had a bad placement and they was able to sneak one in. And two others looked like he was half a second behind in being able to knock them down, where if he was really on his game, those have been pretty easy saves for him. So I want Holtby needs a break. I think they played him a lot of games and he needs some time off to rest. I know he feels... he's one of those guys that feels like he plays better the more games he plays, but at some point, you know, the guy's not going to go out and play 80 games this season and let Neuwirth play two. He needs some time off. I want to see Grubauer get a game or two, see what he's got at the NHL level. It's still relatively early in the season, so if they lose a big game or two with Grubauer in net before Neuwirth come back, then it's okay. But I think right now, Holtby needs to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I like seeing Grubauer in that third period against Carolina. I was pretty impressed with his play. I don't get to see a lot of Grubauer since, you know, he
looked good.
He did. He did.
He looked good enough. I mean, at that point, it's sort of, I don't know what the technical phrasing is, but it's garbage time, I guess what you could call it. You know, Carolina basically had shut down. They still came out and were shooting the puck, but they had, I know Skinner was trying to get that hat trick, but, you know, the guy looked good. He looked steady. That certainly doesn't mean that he's going to be a good NHL goalie or that even will play well if they give him a start on Saturday or whenever. But let's see what he's got. Let's give him a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, of course, impressed people in Hershey. He played an NHL game last season. I think it was up against the Islanders, and I was pretty impressed with him there. So as long as he's here, I mean, don't give him like the Orlov treatment. Don't let him just practice and then sit on the bench the whole time. Let him play a game or two before he heads back up to Hershey. So, I'd be fine with him playing on Saturday up against the Predators, but we'll see what the coaching staff decides. Speaking of Orlov, we got to bring this up. The dude actually gets some NHL games in. Good for him after logging all those miles between Hershey and Washington. Finally on the ice for the Capitals. What have you thought of Orlov so far as a Capital this season? Has he been doing well? Has he been the same old Orlov we're kind of used to?
I like what I saw from him. He's one of those defensemen where, you know, he certainly got more of an offensive game, but we didn't necessarily see that the other night, just because, you know, he's just back, he didn't have any opportunities. But I like Orlov being up here. I hope he continues to play because I really think that he gives this team a chance to win in the end. With that sort of said, I'd like to see him play with someone that is a little bit quicker on his feet, or skates, I guess. Someone who's a little bit better than Tyson Strachan. I know I wasn't a big fan of Strachan when the team brought him in. I thought he did okay with the Caps. At one point, I was thinking maybe he'd be a cheaper option than Erskine, but I think he's a guy who may actually be slower than Erskine in the end, and I don't think that's a good thing. I know he got beat a couple of times in the Carolina game, and Strachan actually was sent down to Hershey, I believe, today, and the Caps called up Patrick Way, who is a prospect of theirs. Interestingly enough, Patrick Way, as you were talking about before the show started, he started the season in Reading, and then moved up to Hershey, and he only played 7 games in Hershey and got 3 points with 1 goal and 2 assists. I was very surprised the Caps decided to call him up. I wonder if he is going to get a jersey on Saturday night, and I haven't looked just yet, but I wonder who we'll be playing with and the opportunity he may have there. Do they go with Way and Orlov? You know, it's kind of maybe a kind of a risky thing having two young guys, but the team's got a lot of young guys playing. I mean, their veteran player right now is what, Mike Green? And then you have Arlsner and Carlson, and then you got Orlov, maybe Patrick Way. I mean, Oleksii doesn't even count as a veteran because he hasn't been around that long in the NHL. And then you have Nate Schmidt. So you have a lot of young guys playing on this roster. A lot of guys have to step and play some big minutes and try and push this team first a playoff run and maybe a Stanley Cup.
Now, let me ask you, what do you think why do they keep Nate Schmidt here the whole time and keep switching out all these other defensemen? I mean, does Hershey Bears just have like an influx of defensemen down there and they're just trying to figure out who fits better in the Capitals system? I mean, why are the Capitals swapping out so many guys and bringing so many guys up and down, up and down?
There are a lot of defensemen that they seem to be moving up and down. Now, Orlov, I don't necessarily count, because as we discussed, was that last week or 2 weeks ago? That maybe in the last week we discussed the fact that Orlov is being brought up and down because the team needs to have him on the NHL roster for a certain amount of games. Otherwise, he will have the opportunity to go back to the KHL. However, with that said, I do think he's made his mark on this roster. Now, as for the reason as for why they maybe bring a lot of guys up and down, I don't think they're necessarily settled on the defensive positions. Now, part of that may be because Hillen got injured, although I don't think he was playing that great to start the season anyways. And then Erskine got injured, so they have these two guys that they thought were really going to be part of the roster are out hurt. So they've had to move guys around. They're sort of looking to see how things are settled. I'm a little surprised that Tomas Kondratic hasn't had the opportunity to come back up just yet. I wasn't expecting Connor Carrick to come back yet. I think he's going to spend the rest of the season in Hershey. Looking at the roster that in Hershey, I mean, you can see Cameron Schilling maybe get an opportunity, but I don't know if he's ready just yet. I think they're looking to see what Patrick Way has, and maybe he's one of these guys that can make that jump. You know, we saw Tom Wilson do that for only, you know, a short time in Hershey last year, and I think he's done pretty well for the Caps so far. Maybe not offensively, but I think he's able to hold his own. So we'll see how Way does. I just looked it up. Way is actually a right-handed stick, so you could see him paired with Orlov on Saturday night, although I don't expect that to be the case. Now, interestingly enough, Oates did break up the Carlson-Alzner duo, which he put back together a little while back. So I'd be interested to see what he decides to do, Oates decides to do, or maybe it's Callie Johansson. What they decide to do for Saturday night's game to see who's going to be paired with who, if it's going to be Green and Alzner again, and then Carlson, I believe he played with Schmidt, which I don't agree with because they're both offensive-minded guys. I don't think that's a great plan there. So we'll see. I believe, if I remember correctly, I think Patrick Way even may be a little bit of an offensive-minded guy, but don't quote me on that. That may not necessarily be the case. But, it's either going to be him or Oleksii. It'll be interesting to see who plays on Saturday.
Well, of course, I'm a big fan of Oleksii. I hope he can play, but I'm very interested to see what
that's your boy.
Yeah, he's one of my boys. I mean, I'm a big fan of him, Beagle, and Volpatti. Those three guys are some of my favorites out there, and I find it very interesting. I mean, just a little side note, Volpatti's been getting a lot of games when it seemed like the end of last year and the beginning of this year that he was sitting down a lot, but apparently he's kind of proved himself in the Oates system, and Volpatti's getting a lot of minutes. But let's real quick go back to the defenseman from Hershey. I'm interested to see what Patrick Way does. I mean, for him to jump from Reading to Hershey to the Capitals, I mean, he's definitely making some noise, and he's definitely getting some people interested. So I'm interested to see what he brings. I mean, if for anything else, just give him the game experience and let him play and see what he can actually do. I mean, I feel like it's worked for other guys in the system, so why not give him a shot as well? So, yeah, I'd be totally for that. Let's switch gears a little bit here, and let's talk about some international hockey. The Capitals have denied Team Canada's request to have Tom Wilson a part of their World Junior Championship. I got to agree with the Capitals for here. I think Tom Wilson, he's made the main roster for the Capitals. I think the more NHL experience he can get, the better. I don't really think him going international and being in a bigger rink and playing with Team Canada is really going to help him in his hockey game. I think being in the NHL, playing as many games as he can with the Capitals, that's where he's going to get all of his experience from.
I mean, I think it would have been a nice thing for him in general to be able to go over and play for his country. But in the end, I think he is, somewhat a big part of this Caps organization and this team, and they want to keep him here. I think to some extent, I believe they're talking about this in the last game, that they were concerned potentially about injuries that may occur or how much it will benefit him playing in, a bigger rink size and playing with guys that aren't as talented as the guys playing in the NHL. I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point. So it was an interesting decision, but I think it was one that everyone sort of saw coming. I don't know how Wilson feels, but, it'd be great for him to see him playing for Canada. I'm sure he wouldn't mind playing for his country, but in the end, he I think him playing with the Capitals right now, being able to play in the NHL, is really what he wants to be doing.
Yeah, and of course, playing for his country down the road, if he keeps going on the path that he's on right now, being so young, being in the NHL, he may make some noise and in 4 years be a part of the Team Canada Olympic team. So down the road,
no pressure.
Yeah, down the road, I mean, he might be able to play for his country that way. But, yeah, right now I think it's best for him to be with the Caps. And I do want to say real quick as well, congrats to RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. Those guys were actually featured on the last Caps Red Line on the NHL Network and on Monumental Sports Network online. And Ian from Russian Machine Never Breaks actually played NHL 14 against Tom Wilson and lost pretty bad. But pretty cool that a fan site like that is getting included in the in a complete Caps Comcast Sportsnet produced show. So congrats to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty awesome thing to be able to go out and do Caps Redline. You know, if you guys over there at the Capitals and Monumental want to give us a shout out, let us be on the show too. That'd be great. I wouldn't mind. We're both video guys in college, so we understand how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. You want us to shoot it, produce it, light it, audio, everything. We can do it all. Let us know. So let's keep talking about some international hockey as well. Real quick, three Capital prospects have been named to Team USA for the World Junior Championship. We've got Riley Barber, who made a lot of noise last year for the World Juniors, Connor Carrick, who's in Hershey right now, and Thomas DePauli. I think I'm saying that last name right. They were all drafted by the Caps in 2012, but congrats to them. They're in the for the at least the beginning part of the roster picks for Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, right now they were named to the preliminary roster for the World Junior, so that is pretty awesome for them. Riley Barber is one of those guys. I mean, we saw Connor Carrick. He's not quite ready yet for the NHL, but you know, he's in Hershey right now. I do think he's a future member of the Washington Capitals. Riley Barber is one of those guys you want to keep your eye on because he's one of those late draft picks that you don't really expect anything from, and he's making a name for himself, and he's doing really well, and I would love to see what this guy can do in the future. He's definitely someone to keep your eye on for this Washington Capitals team. I truly hope, please, George McPhee, don't trade him unless you're bringing in a bona fide, like, first-line winger. Otherwise, keep Riley Barber around. Let's not do another one of those deals where you go out and you trade a prospect like Cody Eakin for Mike Ribeiro, and then you let Mike Ribeiro go. If you're going to move out a guy like Riley Barber, make it sure it's for a guy who's going to stay on your team. I really think Riley Barber has a future in this team, and I want to see him stick around because this is a guy that we definitely have to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Riley Barber last year during the World Juniors. I also think that he's done really well in his college career. I mean, he's really making some noise, and I think a lot of people are kind of taking notice of him. So I talked about it on Twitter a little bit, but the World Juniors really I really enjoyed it last year. And if you've never seen it before, definitely check it out throughout the holidays on the NHL Network. It really is a lot of fun. I really do love the international hockey, and a lot of the guys are tomorrow's stars, so you get to really see them before they hit the NHL. NHL ice. So a lot of fun. Hopefully those guys make the full-on roster and they get to play. I think it's over in Sweden this year for the World Junior Championship. So congrats to them. Did we cover everything in Caps World so far?
Well, the one last thing I think is a problem right now is that the power play looks like a gigantic piece of crap. I mean, it's not working lately. It hasn't been able to keep them in the games. And I wonder how much of that is the fact that teams have been able to pick up on the Ovi spot and that they're not allowing him to get goals right off the faceoff. So I think my issue with the power play is that they don't move around enough. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I go and I watch other teams on the power play, they're constantly moving their players around, yeah, which I feel like that causes the defensive players to have to move around a little bit more. I feel like the Caps are very stagnant. They stay in the same spot. They don't move around enough, and that gives the defense an opportunity to settle in, pick their spots. And a lot of the shots are coming from the outside. You know, you don't see a lot of those across the crease or even cross-ice passes, because they don't work because the defensive guys aren't moving around in new positions. You're not catching anybody out of position because you're not forcing them to move. I want to see a lot more movement on the power play, but it seems like with Oates' system, or whoever's doing it, whether it's him or Blaine Forsyth or even Callie Johansson, which I doubt it is, I want to see a lot more movement from these guys because right now the power play is a huge problem.
Yeah, the power play, I mean, it's just the opposite. We were talking about how they were only getting power play goals earlier in this season, and now they can't do anything. I think a big problem as well in the power play is passing. if you ever watch it, I mean, they kind of grow across the rink, and they want you know, it to be a hard slap shot from Ovi or a hard slap shot from John Carlson when Mike Green was hurt or when Mike Green's back. But it always seems like the passing's off. It always seems like it's not going to anyone's stick. It's usually hitting them in the skate, or they have to resettle and they have to get set up again. But like you said, they're also very stagnant. I mean, they know where they're supposed to stand, and then they're there, and they're it feels like they're kind of playing in concrete because they don't move around that much. And I agree with what you're saying. They need to get the defense moving as well. And if, you can keep the defense on their toes, you'll get one of those holes, one of those openings, and you'll be able to take a clear shot. But right now, they're definitely not doing that. And it seems like they have to just get back to basics, and they really need to figure out how to pass correctly on the power play and how to throw the other team off when they're down a man.
Yeah, I just want to see a lot more movement because everything is so stagnant. I feel like it's so easy to just sit there and block shots, get the guys moving around, you have a better opportunity. And as for being off of the power play and scoring goals, I mean, they have a lot of trouble with that too. I feel like all their shots are coming from the outside. Not enough is coming from up front. A lot of garbage goals, especially in the Carolina game. I mean, they lost to Justin Peters, which is bad enough. And now Peters did play a hell of a game, and he wasn't giving up a lot of rebounds. But crash the net a little bit more, make him uneasy, give him the, you know, don't give him that opportunity to just sit there and catch the puck. Make it a lot harder for him. They're not doing that to enough goalies. I think that's part of the problem that they've been having this season.
Yeah, that's definitely been a big problem. Hopefully those guys can address it. So I think that's pretty much it for Caps World. So we're going to take a quick trip up 83. But before we do that, we're going to make a pit stop in Baltimore. And here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, here we go. We're going up 83. We're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Coach Dan, what's going on with the Hershey Bears?
Well, since the show last aired, Hershey went 2-1 with an overtime win over the Pens' minor league affiliate in Wilkes-Barre in Scranton. So, ha! And Brett Fleming, Caps prospect, was recalled from Reading. He played in all 14 of Reading's games this season, so it'll be interesting to see how he does. In Reading, he was recalled after Patrick White was recalled to the Capitals. Now, speaking of Reading, they went 1-1 with a win over the Elmira Jackals and a loss to the Cincinnati Cyclones. So, unfortunately, Reading is not off to quite the same start as they were last year when Philip Grubauer was lighting up the ECHL. I think if anything, the happiest people when the lockout was over was ECHL fans of other teams, because I met Grubauer was going to Hershey. Of course, now he's with Washington Capitals. That's everything from Up 83.
Now, we got to bring this up next Saturday, the 14th. We'll talk about this next week as well, but Reading Royals are having their ugly sweater jersey special.
I'm already concerned.
I'm trying so hard to go up to Reading that day because I want to see these jerseys in person. If you have not checked them out, go to the Reading Royals Facebook page or their Twitter page. These jerseys are horrendous and they're so bad, but I just need to see one of those in person because they're so bad, but they're so good at the same time.
I mean, some of these jerseys are just it feels like a guy just took a bucket of random paint and threw it at a wall and was just hoping for the best. Now, they do some good ones when they come out with, like, the Caps style jerseys, and they have the Hershey Bears ones. I really like those. Those are really cool. But then the rest of them are just, I mean, they're just hideous.
All right. Well, hopefully people can get one or get to see them, check them out on their Facebook or their Twitter page. But yeah, next Saturday, the 14th, they are going to be rocking their ugly Christmas sweaters.
I'm already scared.
All right, well, that's it. That's it. That's going on up at 83. So let's go around the NHL. All right, well, a lot's going on around the NHL. There's people getting hurt, people getting concussions. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, that's just, it's hockey. And there's also other stuff getting ready for the big stadium series and other stuff as well. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, first, let's start with the New York Rangers and star goalie Henrik Lundqvist. They have agreed to a seven-year extension worth a reported total of $59.5 million.
Woo! Good.
That cap hit actually comes out to $8.5 million. That is a big cap hit for a goalie. Now, yes, Henrik Lundqvist is probably one of the best goalies in the league, if not the best goalie in the league. But damn, That is a lot of money for a goalie. So we'll see how that ends up working out for them in the end with their salary cap, especially since they have a bunch of big price players. And they always want to go out in the offseason and buy somebody else. Our favorite goalie, Ilya Brizgalov, was recently called up and playing with Edmonton, has reportedly suffered a concussion. Now, I hope he feels better and continues his line of craziness soon.
He was doing pretty well with the Edmonton Oilers. I mean,
he was doing well. I thought it was a great pickup for the Oilers, but unfortunately, he has also suffered a concussion.
Yeah, his first game, I believe, was a shutout with the Oilers. But now, man, I mean, he gets hit in the head and out for who knows how long because of a concussion. That really sucks for that guy. Finally getting his chance back and taken away like that. That just sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big blow to him and the Oilers. But, you know, hopefully he'll be okay and he'll come back and bring, like I said, bring his level of craziness back to the NHL because everybody needs a little craziness, apparently. Montreal signed assistant general manager Rick Dudley to an extension, likely taking him out of the running for the Buffalo general manager job. And last little bit of jersey news, Anaheim and Los Angeles both unveiled their jerseys for their outdoor game. They're basically chrome versions of their normal jerseys. Not too creative. I don't know if you've seen these yet. Now, the Islanders jersey for their outdoor game, this thing looks really lame. They basically look like a bad Maple Leafs jersey with like a little bit of orange on it. But it's just their jerseys are just horrible, and I don't even know why. I don't know why Anaheim and Los Angeles are having one outdoor in Los Angeles, because last I checked, it's pretty warm in Southern California, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's going to end up being like that movie 2012 and bad things will be happening. You never know. But the Islanders, I mean, their jerseys are just silly looking. And that team right now is struggling, so it'll be interesting to see what happens and who is coaching that team when they play in their outdoor game.
Now, you see, the New York Islanders, I'll say out of the three that I've seen the Islanders, I've seen the Kings, and I've seen the Ducks. I think I like the Islanders the best, at least. I see what you're saying, though, that it looks very much like a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. But I was not a fan at all of the Anaheim Ducks jersey. I thought that was just terrible. I get it, because they're trying to be like Los Angeles versus Orange County, and they're going with the color scheme of that or whatever. But I did not like the Anaheim Ducks jersey at all. And supposedly, they're not supposed to be classic jerseys. They're supposed to be futuristic chrome jerseys for the stadium series, because they don't want people to get confused with the Winter Classic. But I don't like the fact that they didn't use the Mighty Ducks logo. I would have liked
that. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I would like to have seen that callback. But again, they're not trying to be classic. It's supposed to be, you know, futuristic, you know, I guess in the year 2000 kind of thing with Conan, you know.
F that. Bring back the Mighty Ducks jerseys. If you're going to go and have this stupid outdoor game in Southern California where it's not going to work, the weather it was cold enough in Pittsburgh and the ice still sucked. Part of that was because it was raining. That's true. But the ice still was a bunch of crap. You're going to have a game. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, how much electricity are you going to burn trying to keep that thing cold with air conditioning? Or however the system is that they use. But to not use the Mighty Ducks jerseys, I mean, just – it's a giant opportunity that just completely blew right there.
Here's another thing that I don't like about these jerseys, and this also goes with the Olympic jerseys as well. I don't understand all the armbands. The ones on these Stadium Series jerseys, they don't go all the way around the arm. It stops, and for no reason, halfway around. So the part that's close to your body just is regular, the Anaheim Ducks, just regular orange. So they don't even go around the whole thing. And if you look at like Team Canada's third jersey, where it looks like it's a cigarette packet, and it's all black, and then it just has Canada written across it. I mean, it looks like a cigarette packet, but on the left arm is a red band around the arm, which, I mean, it's terrible to say, but it makes them look like Nazis, which I don't understand at all. Yeah, you should see it. It's crazy. I don't understand the armbands. I'm not a big fan of these Stadium Series jerseys. I will tell you, of these special jerseys that have been out, the Vancouver Canucks, they get a pretty cool Stadium Series or Heritage Classic jersey. I was a big fan of them. It's a giant V and says Vancouver in it. So it's actually going back like the old school Vancouver jerseys.
Those are not bad. I mean, a lot of Vancouver jerseys over the years have been a little poorly designed, I guess would be a way to put it. But nothing really is worse than the Islanders ones right now. And the whole armband sleeve thing you were talking about where it doesn't go all the way around, there's other teams that do that. I don't understand that. Like, why do they stop? that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not like they're like, you know, there because there's something else going on. But I mean, in the end, they're just silly jerseys, and it'll be, you know, that'll be, I think, the least of their issues when the they end up playing in a pool in the Anaheim-Los Angeles game.
That should just get people intrigued just for the fact that it's going to be in Dodger Stadium. Like, could just imagine a hockey game going on outside in California. At least, I mean, if they're doing anything, that is definitely going to pique some interest of fans that are going, what? I want to see this. I want to see palm trees and ice outside in California. So, hey, I mean, marketing ploy, it may be. Still be fun to watch. So, yeah, very, very intrigued by these guys. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, what else we got going on in the NHL? Anything else going on?
That's pretty much it. It's been a relatively quiet week, which means, of course, that something big and crazy will happen tomorrow because we would have finished filming at that point, like they normally do.
I will say this real quick. Let me check the date. Saturday starting on the 14th. So next Saturday is going to be the first 24/7 Red Wings Maple Leaf Road to the Winter NHL Winter Classic. So if you are a fan of that HBO show, that's coming back next Saturday, and they kind of put out a I don't know if they put out a teaser or whatever for it, but love the last few. Going to definitely watch this one. So check that out. So I guess that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Make sure if you want to talk more puck that you follow myself and Coach Dan on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is the Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Also, like the What the Puck show on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, two P's in that title. Also, follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast, and we'll send out any kind of Caps information whenever we get it as well. So this show was done completely for free. You download it and get to listen to it for free as well. So biggest help you can do to help us get bigger and better is let people know about What the Puck. Let them know, be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, on Reddit. Let them know that you are a hockey fan, you are a Caps fan, and that you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So that's pretty much it for the show. Before we go, let me run down real quick the upcoming Capital games for you. On Saturday, December 7th, the Capitals will be at home against the Nashville Predators. We're going to be welcoming back Matt Hendricks to the phone booth. That game is at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet. Then again, doubleheader Sunday, December 8th, the Capitals are going up to the Big Apple, and they're up against the Rangers. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. And then Tuesday, December 10th, the Capitals are back home in D.C. up against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game, 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. So check out those Caps games. We'll be back next week to discuss them. That's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. We'll talk to you next week, and let's go Caps.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.